welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this second Sunday of Lent, and also a Fusion Sunday, in case you missed it as you were coming in. On Fusion Sundays, in our worship planning, we are very intentional about intergenerational participation and inclusion. So this is folks of all ages, but also all places on your in your faith journey to learn and explore. So this Sunday, as you can see, we have prayer stations that are set up, and following the very short sermon, I will invite folks to get up and move about the sanctuary as you feel comfortable. If you would prefer to stay in your pew, you are welcome to do that as well and pray. In your bulletin is a cream sheet of piece of paper. It explains all the different prayer stations. Just about impossible to go to all of them. So find one that really speaks to your heart and your life of prayer this morning. Also a reminder, if you have young worshipers with you, make sure they have their own bulletin. Have an opportunity to hold their own hymnals, to participate in the offering, as well as the prayers of the people. If we have young children who would like to share a prayer, they can raise their hand and we'll make sure that we include those prayers. A few announcements this morning. First, on Tuesday, here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m., we will be doing a screening of Trigger, which is a documentary about gun violence. And a few parents have asked me about age appropriateness. And I watched it again, and there are not images of violence, but the stories that are shared of victims of gun violence are pretty graphic. And so if you have not talked about gun violence with your children, I don't recommend it. But I would say if your children are of age where they watch the news frequently and it's something you've talked about, it would be okay. So if anyone has any questions, don't hesitate to ask. But Tuesday at 7 p.m., this is an event that is open to the community as well. Are there any other announcements this morning? Great, then I have a very special guest to welcome to the pulpit for a moment for mission. Her name is Nancy Elliott, and she is the director of Rochester Area Interfaith Hospitality Network, or RAIN. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you for saying the whole thing out. It's so long, you can probably imagine why we like to call it RAIN. RAIN is a homeless shelter for families with children. We are unique in Rochester in that we are privately funded and able to set our own standards for families that need our help that may not qualify for other shelters around Rochester. And because we're privately funded, we can take people that fall through the cracks in the other programs. We help about 30 families a year that may not have any other place to go. And we literally take families into our program that have been sleeping in their cars or worse. So it's an important program. We collaborate with 42 faith communities all around Rochester that help us to house the families at night. I run the daytime part of the program to help them with whatever barriers there are to having them find housing. And so we work on jobs, we work on medical issues, we work on financing and all the things that need to happen for them to get back on their feet. So I know that it's an important work in Rochester. It means a lot to the families that we're able to help because they were out of options. And I'm sure the parents in here can understand what kind of a feeling that would be as a parent if you had no place for your child to sleep tonight, or if you didn't know where your next meal was coming from. And the families that we're able to help literally are facing those dilemmas. They've run out of options. And so I'm privileged to be part of that, the program that is a solution to helping families to stay together. We don't separate families, men over here to this shelter and women over here to this shelter with their children. We keep the family unit together, and we work with them until they're able to get back into their own housing, which is different from other shelters in the community, too. We don't want to re-traumatize the children by, you know, if they've timed out, sending them to another shelter for another 30 days. We keep them until we can help them get back into their homes. So I hope you consider supporting RAIN, and maybe in future times come on board and join us as a support congregation. It's meaningful, important work, and you can be a part of that. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Nancy. And you'll also be receiving more information from the Mission Committee as we discern God's call for Gates Presbyterian Church and whether or not God is calling us to participate in this mission and ministry, such an important one. All right, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves for a time of worship.
Why are all those people yelling? It hurts my ears. I wish they would just shut up. They're too loud. Why do they keep saying hateful things? I don't understand it. Jesus didn't talk about taxes. He talked about love. Weren't they listening? And I did hear him say anything about them moving into the palace. That's just not his style. Adults just make things too complicated. It seems simple to me. Jesus just wants to love us. Why are those people so mean? I hate the shouting. It scares me. And why doesn't Jesus stand up for himself? I wish they would stop it. Didn't they hear Pilate say that Jesus was innocent? The people keep yelling. Wait, what? Pilate sent the whole mess to Herod? They even bullied Pilate? Seriously?
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. Our sight is set on the cross.
It shows us how broken this world can be.
All around us, we hear the yelling and screaming. We see the bullying and violence.
God longs to shelter us with the promise of love.
With the cross before us, we sing of this love. The promises of God are never broken.
Confident in God's promises of love for our lives, we bring to God our prayers of confession. God, we live in a world broken by sin. Forgive us when we turn away from the cross because it reminds us of how we are a part of it. We are so afraid of not being the most popular or powerful. We push people away with our words and our weapons. Stir us up, healer of nations, and draw us into your vision for peace. And now we bring to God our silent prayers of confession. Amen.
Thank you.
The first reading of the word is from Luke 23, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 16. Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began, even to this place." Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him."
I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. You know, last week we talked about the fact that it's Lent. Lent's a time before Easter when we think about the death of Jesus. It's kind of a sad time. And you'll notice there's another cross in our sanctuary this week. Where is it? Well, there's that one, but that was here last. That's exactly right. That one over there. So we also, last week, started our collection of crosses up here. So I brought you one to see, another one to add to our collection. You know, I got this in Columbus, Ohio. I was on a mission trip with the senior highs. And it's made by a group of people who are part of an organization called the Circle of Hope. There's something very distinctive about this cross. What's in the middle of it? A heart. That's right. The people that made this cross wanted us to remember that even in the hardest, most difficult times of our lives, God's love is with us. And they also wanted us to remember that it's important that we spread God's love to others going through difficult times. So we'll add this right here. Well, I bet this week you showed God's love by putting some money in your fish bank. Did you count the chairs around the table and put that number of coins inside the bank? Well, it's not too late. You still can. I did, and I have four chairs around my table, so I put four quarters in this bank. Well, then count the seats around each table and put those coins in here. This week, I'd like for you to count the beds in your house. Now, I want to remind you of some of the beds you might not think of, like sofa bed, if you have a sofa bed, or perhaps you have a crib in your house, or maybe you have a dog bed in your house. Count all the beds in your house, or maybe even a doll bed, and put a coin in your box for each bed in your house. Because the money we collect for one great hour of sharing helps people who don't have any beds, who don't have a place to sleep. So by giving your money, you'll help them. So let's have a prayer. Oh God, show us ways we can show love to your people. Amen. All right, you may go back to your seats. If you need a bank, there are some banks on the table, the prayer station in the back.
Our second reading for the Word also comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So it would be pretty difficult for anyone to miss the cross this morning, especially if you may have whacked your head on it, or if your normal pew is in the obstructed viewing section. Sorry, choir. But don't worry, in a few moments we will get up and move around to the various prayer stations set up around the sanctuary. These prayer stations are designed to focus on the meaning of our cross this morning, by inviting us to be in prayer about the ways in which we experience brokenness. And brokenness is also impossible to miss this morning from our stories from Scripture. Broken relationships, broken promises, broken communities, and broken lives. There is another word we can use to talk about all this brokenness. And I will warn you, though, it is one we get pretty uncomfortable with. Sin. Frequently, when we hear the word sin, we think that it may not have anything really to do with us. Because sin is something that is really, really, really bad. Sin is what Pilate and Herod, the Roman soldiers and religious leaders, did to Jesus when they called him names and lied about what Jesus said that he was about, when they hurt him and eventually killed him on the cross. As my children told me today, sin is only something that grown-ups do. Sin was all those awful things that everyone admitted to during the prayer of confession in the Presbyterian church that I grew up in. We often used the Book of Common Prayer from the Presbyterian church, and so we recited the same prayers over and over again. A few of them used the words, "We cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste the land and pollute the seas." Another one points out how we walk away from our neighbors in need. We condone evil and prejudice, warfare and greed. I can remember being a kid in the pew going, "I didn't do any of those things." But maybe, just maybe, when my parents asked me, I said it wasn't me who broke my brother's transformer. And maybe I did. Or maybe I was one of the girls who giggled in agreement as a friend teased another about her weight. Or maybe, and I'm just saying maybe here, it could have happened. Could have. That I omitted a tiny little detail about where I was on a Friday night to my parents, but none of that has been proven. So, just maybe. But I would have never used the word sin to describe these accidental, sometimes on purpose, behaviors. And I don't remember exactly when it was that I started to feel more comfortable talking about sin as part of my faith life. When I did, it was helpful for me to think about it in terms of admitting that there is something broken about other people and this world and me. And there are a lot of verses in the Bible that help us to understand that brokenness. But the one that I have come back to time and time again is the one from our gospel reading this morning. When Jesus says, "How often I have desired, and you were not willing." That's the whole story of God's relationship with us, isn't it? From the days in Eden, the days leading up to the flood, the days in the wilderness and of the prophets and of Jesus, how God desires to draw us close in those promises of love and how often we break away from it. We are all involved in that brokenness. So as I think back to that prayer of confession that I said as a child, maybe I didn't throw my Tim Hortons cup into Black Creek Park this morning. But you know what? I am part of enormous economic structures that are most certainly polluting the seas and airs, rivers, and cutting down rainforests and heating up the environment. You know, I didn't physically hurt anyone this week, but we're all part of systems that have allowed an unprecedented number of guns and military-style weapons to be purchased and inevitably used to kill on accident or with intent. Focusing our attention on the cross, it's really easy to point fingers at the first story we heard this morning of who's really guilty of breaking God's desires for healing and wholeness in the world. You know, there are the ones who falsely accuse Jesus. There are the ones who issue the death sentence, the ones who physically hurt him, the ones who eventually nail him to the cross. And today we use the word bully to describe Herod and Pilate and the Roman soldiers and religious leaders like the Pharisees. It's not a word we like to use to describe ourselves. And yet with this cross before us, we do reflect on how Jesus desires us. And we break away by ignoring him and denying him, running away from his love in all the many ways that we treat one another. So each of the prayer stations this morning is intentionally designed to draw you into a deeper time of reflection of the ways that we break away from God's desire for our lives and experience the result of that brokenness. Hopefully they will also remind us that God comes all the way to the cross to heal our brokenness and forgive our sins, no matter how many times we turn away. God always comes to gather us again. And as the music begins, you are invited, as you are comfortable and able, for about 10 minutes or so, to visit a prayer station. A reminder, there is one out in the hallway that is designed for more of a introverted experience and time. You may visit all, as many as you can, or even if there's just one that catches your attention. At this time, I invite us all to a time of prayer. Amen. For anyone who didn't get a chance to visit one of the prayer stations in our time of worship, please know I do leave them up following worship, so you are more than welcome to stay and take your time at each prayer station following worship. And also a word of thanks to Linda Badger-Becker, who put together our beautiful cross PowerPoint presentation this morning, and also to Keith Hadley, who is our master carpenter of the crosses this Lenten season.
I invite you to share your prayers of concern and your prayers of joy.
Grandchildren who are recovering from hopefully minor head injuries from a sledding accident.
Oh, prayers for them.
Good morning. I'm Ann Smith, and I believe in angels. Mm-hmm. I have three of them, actually, and they all have names. One is my husband, who is my constant angel, and my recent angels are Christy and Dick Stewart, who came to my rescue this week, and I am truly, truly grateful.
Jeannie Bauman, I'd like to ask for prayers for my dad. He's in the hospital, Rochester General, awaiting surgery.
I have a prayer and a joy and concern. First, the concern is my aunt, who was my father's sister, just passed away Saturday at 3 o'clock with pancreatic cancer. So just keep our family in your prayers. And I have a joy. It's my sister's 30th birthday today, so if you see her, just say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Carson Wallace, prayers for my teacher. He's having surgery on his wrist.
I'd like you to thank you for your prayers for our daughter Trina last week. They worked a lot better than things did at the emergency department, and she had an obstruction in her salivary gland, and that night it came out, and the pain was greatly relieved. So thank you for your prayers.
Cherie Barrett, I want to thank everybody that's helping my daughter Lauren with meals and prayers. Her pregnancy is coming along, and the new due date for the section is March 14th. So prayers, she's still in a lot of pain with her split pelvis. It's all very medical, but she really appreciates everybody thinking of her. Thank you.
Irene Ward, I would just like to ask continued prayers for my boss's mother, Diane Miller, who is very, very ill and is facing end of life. Thank you.
Kay Harder, I just want prayers for my son, our son, as he goes off to Maine on Thursday to start his new life, a postdoctorate at the Jackson Laboratories. He informed me the first order of business is to get to know his director, and he's taking him on a rock climbing adventure in Kentucky. So prayers for him as he moves on Thursday, and prayers for John and me as we deal with all the move that he has to go from a house to a room in an apartment. So prayers for us all. Thanks.
Hi, Kathy Kittikunz. Joy that Eric has found a position in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, so he'll be moving on Friday. He'll be starting his career as a structural engineer.
Yay. Prayers of joy.
We will miss him, though. Let us pray. God of love, you teach us kindness and gentleness. You even sent Jesus to show us how to treat each other. Yet sometimes we forget, and cruelty creeps into our words and deeds, and we know that we hurt people deeply. Forgive us, O God, and turn us away from our destructive actions. Help us to discover healthy ways of communication and empowering ways to respond. Turn our clenched fist into outstretched hands and help us to stand up for others when we witness meanness. This morning we come praying for the staff of rain. We give you thanks for the work they do and the blessings they bring to our community. And we pray for the volunteers of RAIN and thank you for the love they generously give. And we pray for the families in the program. We ask that you wrap these men and women and children with your sacred compassion and direct us in ways in which we can reach out to the homeless in our community. Reveal to us means through which we can advocate for just systems. Open our hearts to those living in poverty throughout our world, and help us to respond from our faith. And we pray for all those going through difficult times, for those mentioned this morning, and for those we hold close in our hearts. May they know the power of your eternal embrace. And, O God, we ask that you hear us now, as together we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Faithful God, you have kept your promises to us. Our lives give witness to your abundant blessings. May we faithfully keep our promises to you. Strengthen our commitment to live as true disciples of Jesus Christ. Your love sustains us, guides us, and empowers us. Take these gifts as signs of our promise to give ourselves completely into your care, to live without fear, to trust your love without reservation. Amen.
As the cross stands before us as a reminder of our brokenness, may also it stand before us as a reminder of God's desire to heal us, to come so close to the point of death. God's love and grace surrounds each one of us now and always. Amen.
Thank you. the most technological, and she would be the one who would actually download it.
Okay.
She was so funny. We were out the other night, and there was a picture. It was 10 years ago that she and Omar were in Jamaica. And so I don't know if Omar took the picture, and I don't know if she posted it or Omar posted it. She was, oh, my God, it was like elephant jumping off.